Thank you for that, Karis, and thank you for your testimonies this morning. I feel in a way that I may not need to read my sermon. Some of those testimonies are just echoing what I believe God is saying to us this morning about his provision. His provision in those really difficult times where we really just feel in the desert. That song, the desert song, we feel often in that desert and we wonder how we're going to move forward. And yet, God provides. I'm reading from Numbers chapter 11. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. The fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So that place was called Taberah because fire from the Lord had burned among them. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. The manna was like coriander seed and looked like resin. The people went around gathering it and then ground it in a handmill or crushed it in a mortar. They cooked it in a pot or made it into cakes. And it tasted like something made with olive oil. When the dew settled on the camp at night, the manna also came down. Moses heard the people of every family wailing, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their forefathers? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, give us meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, put me to death right now. If I have found favor in your eyes, do not let me face my own ruin. The Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Make them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there. And I will take of the spirit that's on you and put the spirit on them. They will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed. If only we had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat and you will eat it. You'll not eat it for just one day or 2 days. Or 5, 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it, because you have rejected the Lord who's among you, and you have wailed before him, saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? But Moses said, here I am among 600,000 men on foot, and you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month. Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were cooked for them? The Lord answered Moses, is the Lord's arm too short? You will now see whether or not what I say will come true for you. May the Lord bless that word to us this morning. You know, it's all too easy to reflect when we're in those days in the land between have a sense of utter emptiness, loneliness, and as though we're fighting battles on our own. In reality, it tends to be those times when God's presence becomes all the more obvious, and our experiences are of a God meeting us in our low places, restoring joy, giving hope. As we look through this passage this morning, my hope and prayer is that we'll be reminded and encouraged that in the land between, God certainly provides. I suppose some of us, reading the situation in the wilderness, might have a little cynicism about the plight in the camp. Essentially, God was meeting their need. Now, when I read this, I bizarrely was drawn to a sketch from Monty Python. It tells us in the Bible that they were eating manna that was like coriander seed and cooked like resin. I say cooked in a pot and often made sometimes as cakes. I was reminded of that sketch in Monty Python where they're in the cafe and bizarrely there's a whole load of Vikings and this man goes in there with his wife and all he gets offered is spam, spam, eggs, bacon, spam, sausage, spam. Everything's all right as long as you've got spam with it. And I'd imagine that the Israelites had got to this point of just thinking, this is all we ever have. This was their equivalent of the spam. That was all that they were getting. Yes, the manna diet would not have been to everyone's liking. And I'll be honest, I myself, as much as the next person, loves a varied diet, which occasionally includes items such as sausage rolls, carrot cake, the occasional pint of real ale that some would argue is not good for me. In fact, the scales at home regularly remind me that they are not good for me. The truth is, whilst a fruit tea and a rye vita might be very good for me, I still occasionally stamp my feet and get stroppy. You know, I don't always want a skinny latte. Sometimes I want a proper, full-on, full cream latte. Perhaps with some cream on the top and some of those nice marshmallows. And one of those chocolate sticks that you can put in there as well. Sometimes I want more than a skinny latte. And I get the feeling that the Israelites had got to this point where they thought, you know, it's manna, day in, day out. They may have wanted more, but did they need it? I was struck by that testimony earlier, where you were talking about the fact of donating that money, and the call that you said was, it was exactly what was needed. Not a penny more, not a penny less. God, through you, met the need. Not the want, but the need. I do think that the passage that we've looked at is not about provision for the Israelites. This isn't about their grumblings within the camp. This passage is about someone, one person, who's at the end of their tether. The constant grumbling of the Israelites and their petitions to Moses has got to the point of being the straw that has broken the camel's back. I'm sure we can all pinpoint those moments in our life where the sheer weight of a number of burdens around us has become almost unbearable. We've cried out to God for his provision and his direction. We've heard those testimonies this morning which echo that. My heart goes out to Moses in this situation. Why have you brought this trouble on your servant, Lord? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? The burden is too heavy for me. we can feel the desperation in his words. This wasn't the cry of a fussy eater wanting a change in his diet. This was a man for whom the weight of the burden had reached breaking point. So what is the response? Does God give Moses a pep talk? Tell him to man up? Does he admonish him about his poor management skills? You know, there are all times in our life when we actually need tough love. We need that person to say, come on, you can get through this. But sometimes the need is just for empathy, for getting alongside someone, for being willing to just listen and help to find the solution. And so God says to him, bring me 70 of Israel's leaders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Make them come to the tent of meeting, that they may stand there with you. I'll come down and speak with you there. And I will take the spirit that's on you and put the spirit on them. They'll help carry the burden of the people, so you won't have to carry it alone. Let's just reflect on that response. God is agreeing with Moses. Moses says, I can't carry the burden alone, Lord. And God says, the others will help carry the burden. He's saying, you're right, Moses. It is too much to bear. I will spread out the burden. You know, Moses is not alone. God has used the other leaders in meeting the desperate need that Moses has. Do you know, I never fail to be amazed by God's immense, incredible love and provision, and how he uses fellow Christians that he places in and around our life to meet our needs as and when they occur. Looking around this morning, I know many a part of God's provision to meet desperate need within our fellowship. You may be that person who gets alongside someone who is really struggling. You this morning may be like Moses. You may feel that desperate burden upon you. My hope and prayer is that if we are the provision, our hearts will be open to God's Spirit to use us, to carry that burden for those that are in the land between. And if we're like Moses, that we will be open to God to act and provide for us. And God's provision comes often in the most bleak and unexpected situations, in the most caring ways, as we've already heard. When my father was rushed into hospital over a year ago, having had a massive stroke, as a family we were made aware he had possibly anything from a few hours to a couple of days before he'd pass away. The sorrow of this happened so quickly, and the weight of sadness among the family, and the practical responsibilities for myself as his son seemed almost intolerable. And yet in those 48 hours I was overwhelmed by God's provision to myself and my family. This may seem an inconsequential story to share, but on the Sunday evening, we knew my dad had little time left. We were in a ward in the hospital, where his bed was sectioned off from other patients by only a curtain around the bed. Life was going on around us, and bizarrely, it was difficult to share those last moments with my dad with any sense of intimacy. I'd been fortunate to meet a former member of our church youth group, who was now working on the same ward as a nurse earlier that evening. I'd just been chatting to him and explaining why I was in the hospital. As the evening wore on, we were suddenly told by staff that they'd found a single room in the ward where they could move my dad. They said Jack had sorted it. I hadn't told him about this. I hadn't even mentioned it. God provides. You know, I know I'm not alone. You all have stories like this. God has met our need by the sudden arrival of a friend. And he knows exactly what we need. It might be the email, the card, or the letter of encouragement when we're feeling low or lacking in confidence. Might be the meal that is offered when we know it's the end of the month and we won't be getting groceries for a few days. God is incredible in his timing. Let's make it clear. God loves to provide for his flock. It's what he does. It's an integral part of his character. And he does it with an intimate knowledge of each of our personal needs, not our personal wants. In the depths of his despair, Moses experienced God's tender care in the wilderness. When our journey is in the land between, we need to be steadfast in our trust. We have a God who is not stingy. God is good. He provides out of an inexhaustible reservoir of generosity. When we travel in the land between, our expectation of what God will prove to do and our trust in that is a determining factor of that experience in the land between. Our trust in his future goodness keeps hope alive as we journey through the desert. My grandmother was an incredible woman. I was so blessed to have been able to spend so much time in her company in my early years. My granddad and gran had little money, but she always shared what she had. If she saw a need in the family, she'd do her best to meet that need, even if it meant using money that she knew she would need for basics later in the week. Throughout her life, she held firmly to a trust that God knew her need and would provide. That faith in God, it remains a constant reminder to me that God knows our need. He wants us to trust in him to provide. If we go back to the story of Moses, it's clear that Moses, on reflection, would have remembered all those times on his journey with God when God had provided. Remember how back at the burning bush, God had said, "I've seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out. I am concerned about their suffering." If ever we needed to be reminded of anything this morning, if we're in the desert land, if we're in the land between, in times of confusion and difficulty, please be assured this morning, God is saying to you today, "I have seen your misery. I've heard your cry. And I am concerned about you. I am concerned about you." Let's take a step back and be reminded of Abraham. Abraham enters into a surrogate mother arrangement with Hagar, even though God had promised a child to him and Sarah. And this sets off a chain of events where, let's be honest, nobody comes out of it smelling of roses. Hagar begins to have feelings of superiority. Sarah begins to mistreat Hagar. And Abraham appears to be quite passive in the situation and do very little. It's hard to see the positives in this story. And yet when Hagar runs away, you might expect the focus of the story to be Sarah and Abraham, but the angel of the Lord finds Hagar and informs her that the child she's bearing will be called Ishmael. God hears. The Lord has heard of your misery. And Hagar does a strange thing and gives a name to the Lord. She says, "The God who sees me." Who's this God who called Abraham to leave his home? His language, his people? It is the God who hears and the God who sees. It's the God who takes up the cause of the rejected, the unloved, and the mistreated. The Israelites knew this story of Abraham. They certainly had had experience of his provision, the escape, the Red Sea. But somehow they weren't grasping this aspect of his character at this point. They were not trusting him as the God who sees, hears, and provides. I absolutely get that in the land between, we feel alone. We feel beat up. We feel impoverished. But God sees. And God hears. I have heard, I've seen, I have heard, and I am concerned about you. I don't know what your situation is this morning. I don't know your financial situation, your employment, marital situation, family pain, bereavement, depression. But God has seen. God has heard. And God is concerned in whatever situation you find yourself in. I wish I could say that as soon as God told Moses that he would share the burden, that Moses would have said, great, sorted, thanks, I trust you. And yet sadly, we still have this unresolved crisis, the manna and the lack of meat. And whilst there'd be more to share the burden, it doesn't solve the seemingly impossible crisis of the demand for meat over manna. Let's remind ourselves of the situation. Wilderness, barren waste, and a desire for food and a more varied diet. The Lord says he will provide, and yet the human understanding of a solution does not compute. And quite rightly, how many of us, if we'd have been in that same situation there, would have just trusted when everywhere around us we could see nothing that would be able to give that provision? We see this elsewhere in the Bible where there is this sense of disbelief of how God can meet that need. I always like to refer to the story of the feeding of the 5,000 and Philip there, almost imagining him with the calculator saying, how on earth can you provide in this situation? We have all these people. We are not going to get any food here for this number of people. And God brings home a response which should ring with us today. Is the Lord's arm too short? Are you doubting my ability to provide? You know, Jesus very clearly continued this theme when telling his believers about prayer in Luke 11. Give us each day our daily bread. Father, please provide the things I need today. A daily prayer for our daily needs, resting in the certainty that God provides. In the Sermon on the Mount, excuse me while I just find it, he continues this theme. I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And a bit further on it says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Going back to Abraham, when God fulfills his promise to provide a son for Abraham and Sarah, they must have been reminded and forever grateful for his provision. But Abraham has an almost unbearable further adventure in faith. When God tests Abraham by ordering him to sacrifice Isaac, Do you know, it's really nice when you're reading a story and you're told at the outset, God is testing Abraham. So you know it's a test. Abraham didn't know it was a test. He wasn't told that at the outset. God just says to him, this is what I want you to do. He must have been beside himself with sadness. This child that he'd longed for so long. And God was asking him to bring him forward as a sacrifice. Incredibly, his focus and his trust is on God. In this desperately sad situation for him, he focuses and he trusts in God. And as God sees that incredible trust, he stops the sacrifice of Isaac. And provision is met elsewhere. He sees that Abraham has been prepared not only to trust God with his past, but ultimately with his future. You know, it's so easy when we're in the land between to have our own view on how things are going to be resolved, how things are going to move forward. Many years ago, when Sandy and I first came to Thornhill Baptist Church, we'd been working for a number of years doing youth work in a church the other side of Southampton. And it was so easy for me coming along to Thornhill Baptist thinking, well, Lord, I'm sure you've got me prepared to do some work and help with the youth work. That's obviously what my gift is that you've given me, Lord. I've been doing that for ages. And for about 2 years, nobody asked us to do any youth work. And that wasn't my plan. In this sort of land of transition, it was a case of, now this is bizarre. What's this about, Lord? And I have to say, it was really quite strange. God wasn't sort of moving me in that direction. I had to learn again about trusting in God. And God took me in a different direction, and he provided. It wasn't what I expected. And again, I was sort of thinking, is this the way, Lord? Why is this happening? But as with all things, we often look back and think, oh, that's why it was. I needed that break. I needed to not do that work for a while. I needed to get some spiritual food. And that's what God was providing to me at that point. Trust. This morning, wherever we are in the land between, God wants us to trust him wholeheartedly, to know that he is the God who sees. He is the God who hears. And he is the God who is concerned. He doesn't want to see the yoke of burden to weigh us down beyond that which we can cope. He seeks us to trust in his provision. He wants to know that as he met the need of Abraham, as he met the need of Moses, here this morning, he wants to meet our need. I pray we'd step out in trust and assurance. God wants to meet with us and to minister among us and meet that need.